Full Service Radio.
Hello everyone, welcome to BYT Radio. My name is Brandon Weatherby. We record this show every Thursday at noon. Full Service Radio in the beautiful Lion Hotel in Adams Morgan. BYT Radio stands for British Young Things Radio. British Young Things is an arts and culture site based in Washington, D.C. with outposts in New York City and Chicago, Illinois. Sitting with me today is a very sweaty man, but he's a very in-shape man. And he defies age. Ladies and gentlemen, Legba Carefer is on my show today. Legba, how are you?
I'm good. A little sweaty, as you pointed out.
Did I mispronounce your last name?
No, you pronounced it just fine.
Oh, good. I'm glad. I've known you for a handful of years.
Yeah, about six.
About 6 years. And you've been doing similar stuff, relatively similar stuff for the last 6 years. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you have never seen me, if you've never seen Legba, but you might recognize the name, it's probably from the Washington Post. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
Last year, about a year ago, there was a big feature on you, and you were called an anarchist. Is that a fair and accurate title, descriptor of yourself?
Yes, I am an anarchist.
Okay, you're an anarchist. What are your thoughts on the band Against Me?
I'm actually not really that into punk. So
really?
I listen to hardcore because it's local.
Okay.
So I go to hardcore shows.
Oh, I like that we've established one stereotype as false, but one stereotype is true about anarchists. Not
right.
A fan of punk, fan of hardcore.
Right.
Do you sincerely like hardcore?
I like the shows.
So you like the community aspect more than the music?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Could you name one hardcore band whose music you genuinely enjoy that you'll put on at home?
86 Mentality.
Okay, thank you so much. I'm glad you were able to name one. That was not a trick question. I also love going to hardcore shows. Don't put that on the jukebox at home a lot. Also, I don't own a jukebox at home. Okay, so the reason I wanted to have you on this week is because that article, that feature that was written about you, was a little over a year old. And the timing on that feature was quite odd, wouldn't you say so?
Yeah, it came out right before Charlottesville happened.
It came out on August 10th, 2017. Charlottesville Unite the Right was August 11th and 12th. Last weekend in Washington, D.C. was Unite the Right Part 2. Legba, where are you at the Unite the Right? This is not like a, by the way, for the listener at home, I know Legba, I like Legba, this is not an interrogation. It might sound like it, and I'd like to apologize if that's what it sounds like. Jack, how are you doing? Jack's in the booth, by the way.
I'm okay.
Okay, don't get stressed out. I promise I'm not trying to do anything bad for the hotel or Legba. And Legba, I hope I'm not trying to stress you out, that I'm not trying to make you seem like a corporate entity for the beautiful Lion Hotel in Adams Morgan. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Everyone's above board here?
Yes.
All right, we're on the right side of history. And I'm not going to make as many jokes as I usually do on this show because I want to make it very clear. I don't want to make anything very clear. I just want to have a conversation with Legba, who I like as a human being but don't necessarily agree with. And we've talked about this on many different shows over the last 6 years. Okay, so here is the title of the feature that was written about you and others, but you were in the photo, so I feel like it's okay to say this is a feature that was mostly about you and I'd say, like, what, five other anarchists from last year? Okay. What draws Americans to anarchy? It's more than just smashing windows. This is from the Washington Post by Perry Stein in 2017. We're going to go sort of forwards and backwards. Is that's okay with you, Legba?
Mm-hmm.
This is the paragraph about you using a quote from you. I was always an anarchist in search of anarchy, Carefer said. The fact that people at the Seattle protest were not willing to take no for an answer, were willing to take direct action without any permission or anything, was completely mind-boggling. That was in 2000.
Yeah.
18 years later, is that how you feel?
Yeah, that's still how I feel.
Okay. Has anything in the last, since the inauguration, since the J20 protests, since the Disrupt protests, to last week in Washington, D.C., has anything changed in your mind? Has anything... Have the outcomes of any of these protests made you rethink your stances on anything?
No, if nothing else, they've sharpened my resolve and commitment to direct action.
Okay,
which I should probably define for the audience.
Absolutely,
direct action is, so it's not like voting, it's not like writing a petition, it's mm-hmm. taking action at the point at which power exists. Mm-hmm. So it's things like blocking highways and disrupting the flows of capital, or setting up an Occupy camp. Or, in some cases, smashing windows.
Mm-hmm. Now, last week, was a lot different than Charlottesville. I don't think you were at Charlottesville. Is that correct?
No, I was not in Charlottesville.
Because I think the reason why, this is a weird way to say this, but the reason why it might have worked for the Unite the Right folk is because it seemed to take everyone off guard. Is that fair? In 2017.
Yeah, it didn't take the sort of, so I'm also part of the anti-fascist movement.
Okay.
And it didn't really take anti-fascists off guard because we'd been monitoring far-right chatter for a while.
Okay.
And it seemed like there could be a lot of them. They're playing and showing them armed.
I think it's fair to say the anti-fascist movement is small compared to mainstream media.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's relatively small in the U.S. It's definitely bigger than the number of Nazis that are out there.
Sure, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
I think we could all agree, Nazis bad.
And also, I have a pretty expansive definition of anti-fascism. I think everyone is kind of an anti-fascist who's not an asshole.
I'm not, this is the first time I'm agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with you, Legba. But I think it is fair to say that in 2017, not as many people knew about the alt-right, knew about Unite the Right, as they do 2018, a year later.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that definitely took people by surprise.
Okay.
It was the largest gathering of white nationalists in the United States for 20-some years.
And it's still not that many people. I know it sounds like I'm dismissing the horribleness of what happened in 2017, but all things considered, they couldn't sell out 930 Club. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But you have to point out, so they don't need that many numbers. So, like, for this Sunday, a good example being Jason Kessler was only able to muster some 24 people to show up to his rally, but he was surrounded by about 2,000 other fascists who just happened to wear blue and be in riot gear and called cops.
Okay, so not a fan of cops, noted. But here are two different takes from what you and others did last Sunday in Washington, D.C. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Here we go. From WUSA, a local news outlet, they tweeted on August 12th, hashtag Unite the Right members say people were too afraid to come out today for the rally, and that's attributed to people like you. I think that's a good thing, right?
Yeah.
I think we could all agree that's a good thing.
I think it's part of the strategy is to scare them from coming out.
Don't disagree. Next day, in the Washington Post, I'm sure you've seen this piece by Eva Selk. Antifa protesters couldn't find any fascists at Unite the Right and harassed the press instead. Now, where do you stand on that? Because I know you as a human being, technically in part, as opposed to me, you knowing me as a robot. But you know me. I'm technically a member of the press. We get along.
Yeah.
Do you get along with most members of the press?
Yeah, absolutely I do. I get along with the press individually on a lot of levels. I have a lot of friends who are journalists. So the harassment of journalists isn't true. That never happened. What did happen was, there were a lot of people shoving cameras in our faces, and for obvious reasons, people all dressed in black wearing masks don't like having their pictures taken because the alt-right uses them to dox people, which is releasing their personal information online to encourage other people to harass them.
Sure.
Or making themselves targets for arrest by police.
Don't disagree whatsoever. You've dealt with the arrest by police for a lot of times. You've been doing this for 18 years.
Yeah.
You understand the drill.
Yeah.
That being said, there are some quotes from this piece from August 13th, which I think was earlier this week. Yes, that's correct. It's only August 16th. Could I read a few if that's okay?
Yeah, sure.
All right. Antifa's anti-fascist aggression has morphed into attacks in the press before. Members of the movement were occupying and threatening reporters and smashing cameras during protests last year. You just mentioned the smashing the cameras part. I get that. But normally, brawls between anti-fascists and racists get most of the attention. In the aftermath of this weekend's otherwise uneventful rallies, Antifa's attacks on the press stood out. The movement was condemned by not only right-wing commenters, whatever, but also national reporters such as Jake Tapper and Brian Stelter. The press being the press, reactions vary. Daily Beast reporter Kelly Will argued that the vast majority of anti-fascists in the district this weekend were pretty uniformly chill.
Yeah.
Would you agree that most protesters last week in Washington, D.C. were, quote-unquote, pretty uniformly chill?
I don't know if the word chill is the right word, but there were no mass confrontations or anything. Like, no one got attacked. Largely it's because there were walls and walls of cops between us and the fascists.
Understood. Okay. So last Sunday, were you glad you were in Washington, D.C.?
Yes. Yes, I was.
Do
I was
you think that anything will have changed because of your presence and or, your compatriots' presence last Sunday in Washington, D.C.?
Yeah. I think one thing that's really evident is that we're growing the anti-fascist movement. And broadening it, like I mentioned before, to not just include anarchists, but include normal people. So So there was something called a black block, which is a tactic the anarchists use where they dress in all black and wear masks and wear goggles to make themselves look uniform and unidentifiable. And the crowd that rolled with us was mostly people not dressed like that.
Okay.
And it was a lot of people of color. Black Lives Matter was marching with us for a while when we took the streets after the fascists left. And I think that's the most important thing, is that we're sort of waking people up and introducing them to the idea that we should and can confront Nazis when they're on the street.
How do you want to be referred to? Anarchist, Antifa, anti-fascist? What do you prefer? If I'm going to use a descriptor for Legba, what should I be using other than your name?
Anarchist.
Okay. Fine. Should anarchists be using the same techniques that modern Nazis are using, which is normalization?
What do you mean?
Well, Jason Kessler does not dress like he's in the Gestapo, correct?
Yeah.
How does he dress?
He dresses like a lobbyist.
Okay, therefore, shouldn't anarchists dress like lobbyists because it won't be as scary to some?
Yeah, but lobbyists are the Nazis.
I understand. Okay, but so. if it's just dress, why not adopt and adapt to that?
So like I said, so the idea is we need to wear masks to hide our identity, and you can't really wear a suit and tie and not be identifiable.
But you already are identified. That's the difference between you and a lot of these other people. You've already been profiled on O'Reilly Report. Or what was that show called?
O'Reilly Factor.
O'Reilly Factor, I apologize. On the O'Reilly Factor. You've already been profiled with your photo, like posed with a photographer working with the press last year in the Washington Post. You are not a hidden figure. I understand that others are. But you, Legba, how about we get you a tailor-made suit? I'm not joking. And we put you in khakis and nice, sensible loafers next time, and you're right front and center. Would that change anything? Serious question.
No, it wouldn't, and I think it would detract from some of the... So there's strength and, mm-hmm. and in the uniformity of everyone wearing black.
Okay.
It's like our team colors, and sort of...
Okay.
You can look at the person next to you who's wearing all black and know that they're part of your team.
About 2 minutes ago, you said there were a bunch of other people with you guys on yeah. Sunday that were not dressed like you.
Yeah.
Do you think that made your presence stronger or weaker?
Stronger.
Okay. Do you see where I'm going with this?
I don't really, I mean, agree with you on that.
Okay.
I know you're trying to talk me out of the
no,
tactic.
No, not at all. I'm wondering, has this tactic, the one I'm proposing, ever been used, and has it been successful?
I mean, I go to protests all the time, yes. Not dressed in all black.
I understand that, but are you wearing a suit? Is anybody that's on the far left wearing a suit? And is it even fair to say you're on the far left? If you had to choose...
I don't really identify with the term the left, but that's fine.
Okay. Well, no, let's just go back to anarchists. Are there any anarchists on the front lines, literal front lines, wearing suits?
No.
Okay.
Because suits are hot, uncomfortable, and hard to run away from the police in.
We live in Washington, D.C. I think we could both agree that if you're wearing a suit, you're less likely to be arrested by the police, regardless of your action.
I don't know. Charging police lines and building barricades in the streets.
You'll look like the anarchist lawyer.
Yeah, but you know, a bunch of lawyers got arrested on the inauguration too. So,
do you want to talk about that at all?
I can talk about that.
Okay. Is it fair to say that you were part of that?
I was part of the organizing for that.
Yes. Okay. And when we're saying that, we're referring to Disrupt. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Okay.
Disrupt J20.
We've had a lot of people on the show that have been. I don't think anybody on the show is pretty thrilled with the current administration. I think everyone's protested it in their own unique and individual way. Yours is probably the second most well-known, first being Robin Bell's Projections. So, do you think what you did helped, hurt, or at the end of the day was something that needed to be done, because without it you would have felt like you were just sitting on the sidelines?
I think it helped, and I think if I hadn't done anything, I would have felt like a fraud.
Okay. How did it help?
I mean, like I said, it helped. One, it shut them down, so they didn't show up because they were scared of us.
May I make a counterpoint, and this relates to Sunday's piece?
Yeah.
DC's really expensive. You know that, and I know that. Not everyone in the country knows that. And if you're a Donald J. Trump supporter, and you're coming from the middle of America, and you see how much hotels cost, and you see how much flight costs, and hell, even if you want to stay in the suburbs, it's really expensive. Isn't a fair argument to be made that a lot of people didn't show up because just DC is too expensive?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so, because people show up for protests from like Nebraska here all
okay.
the time.
So. Okay. I was just throwing that out there. But you said you helped shut it down on January 20th, 2017.
Yeah.
Overall, felt good about it, felt bad about it, felt more paranoid about it, because some bad stuff happened, or almost bad stuff happened to you and your friends for a very long time after.
Yeah. So for the listeners who don't know, there was a mass arrest of people who were near some individuals who chose to break bank windows. Mm-hmm. And the police just simply rounded up and kettled 212 people who were wearing black, people who were not wearing black, journalists, medics, mm-hmm. lawyers, and charged 200 of them with conspiracy to riot and conspiracy to commit felony property destruction.
And that was finally dropped not that long ago.
Yeah, it was dropped about a month ago.
And those legal fees can't be cheap.
Yeah, no, we definitely have a lot of legal fees left over from that.
Do you see where I'm going? Maybe everyone dresses like a lawyer.
Yeah, but the lawyers got arrested too. So,
but
so
were they dressed like lawyers?
Yeah, they were dressed like lawyers.
All right. What's the goal? At the end of the day, are you doing this because it makes you feel like you're part of the world? Is it making you feel like you didn't pass up on history? Is it friendship? You have to have a lot of friends that do this. Why do you do this?
So I personally do it because, one, it gives me a sense of agency in my own life, mm-hmm. Where taking action in the streets makes me feel powerful.
Okay.
And it does connect me to a larger network and community of people who I consider friends. Like you and I probably mm-hmm. wouldn't be as close friends if I didn't
probably.
Do the stuff I did.
Yeah.
And also because I think the tactics we use work.
So
I was really involved in, after Black Lives Matter started, I was involved in a lot of the highway blockade that happened in DC, and that felt really powerful mm-hmm. and really good.
I would think that out of everything that modern protesting is, highway blockages is probably the most effective, because it's the thing that screws up the daily schedule for the most amount of people that in theory includes no violence.
Oh yeah, I am very in favor of blockades. In November of 2014, we blockaded the DC side of the 14th Street Bridge mm-hmm. and backed up traffic all the way to the Pentagon and up GW Parkway for like 40 miles.
What was the point in 2014? What was that protest about?
It was in support of the movement to get accountability in the shooting death of Michael Brown by police in Ferguson.
How often have you wanted to quit? Because clearly that didn't help.
I think it did.
Okay, how did it help? Prove me wrong.
It built a huge nationwide movement and visibility around the issue of the murder of black people at the hands of the police.
Yeah. How often do you want to quit?
Every time I can't pay my bills.
How often is that? Is that often?
About once a month.
That's not good.
Yeah.
Do you see yourself stopping? Are you a lifer?
No, I'm a lifer.
Okay. How is it? Maybe this is going to sound rude and crude, and I apologize if it does. Are you in a dazed and confused type of situation where you get older and they stay the same age with your fellow anarchists?
No. I'm seeing my younger friends age with me now.
Okay.
So there's a lot of anarchists in DC are in their 30s now. Which
That's
is,
good.
Which is good.
Have anybody in the anarchist group fallen in love and then stopped protesting?
No, actually.
That's nice to hear.
I know a lot of anarchists who are having babies now, which is cute. Not for me, but it's cute when my friends have babies.
Are there any anarchist babies that come to... Were any anarchist babies at Sunday's demonstrations? Or counter-protests, I apologize.
I don't know if there are any at the permitted rally, which
okay.
happened on the north side of Lafayette. I was at the unpermitted march, and there were no babies there. Although there was a woman with a tiny Pekingese dog in a purse.
Do you recommend bringing animals to protests?
No, I definitely
Okay,
do
that's
not.
Good.
Yeah.
Why?
Because the cops sometimes use pepper spray on crowd indiscriminately, which they did on Sunday.
How many times do you think you've been pepper sprayed?
I've been pepper sprayed directly in the face once.
Okay.
And then I've been tear gassed twice.
Okay. What was more painful?
pepper spray by far.
Why?
It sticks to you.
It sticks to you?
Yeah.
How long did it take to just finally feel free of it?
Like half an hour.
That's not that bad. I thought you were going to say like days.
It's like half an hour of like, well, and also later on in the night when you take off your clothes and mm-hmm. you pull your shirt over your head and your shirt's got pepper spray on and you rub it in your eyes again.
You know how, you know what that wouldn't happen if you were wearing a sensible suit, a nice three-piece suit. It would just button it right off.
Yeah, that's
true.
I could just button it right off.
What do you think of people like me? Because I don't agree with 90% of your tactics, but I agree with most of your politics.
I mean, I say right on. We don't always have to believe in the same tactics to accomplish the same goals.
Do you have any Republican friends that you know of?
No, I don't.
Do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing?
I don't think it's a bad thing. I wouldn't object to having Republican
that's
friends.
Good.
Like, I have a friend who's a cop.
That's great.
And I have a bar friend who's also a cop.
What do your cop friends think of you?
They think I'm hilarious.
That's good.
Yeah.
Have your cop friends ever confronted you on the street?
No. Although, when I went to, up to Baltimore during the riots, one of my cop friends was, a PG County cop, and he was assigned to riot police duty.
Uh-huh.
And I kept making jokes that I was going to see him. I was going to start screaming, his name and harassing him. But luckily I didn't see him.
Are you afraid of being doxxed?
No, because I'm already pretty out there.
Okay, so for the majority of people listening to this, I don't think they know what doxing is. I think I only know of it because of people like you.
Yeah, so doxing is the practice of publishing someone's personal information, such as their full legal name, mm-hmm. their address, their place of work, their friends' names, their parents' names. And I got doxed several times in the lead up to the inauguration protests.
And this is when you were profiled on the O'Reilly Factor?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It led to I got a lot of death threats. So, for example, I got an anonymous email that consists of nothing but an ASCII swastika
uh-huh.
and my parents' full names.
Sure. But at the end of the day, were you ever frightened?
No. I was more scared of getting arrested on conspiracy charges than I was of Nazis because we don't really have a Nazi problem in D.C.,
We don't have a Nazi problem in D.C. Were you at all worried for your parents?
No. Okay. They're in Berlin.
That doesn't change anything, though. So you were just... If they were stateside, you might have been worried.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're afraid of... If people are afraid of doxing, should they be protesting this way for their own sanity?
I think it's a personal decision, but, I mean, I would encourage people to be brave, stay strong, and there's power in numbers and in community.
Do you feel like there's a freedom because you've essentially been outed as who you are that you could pretty much do or say whatever you wanted to do without having any information revealed about yourself?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're very rarely on Twitter nowadays, and you used to be a lot more. Why has that changed?
I stopped using Twitter because all I was getting for a while was death threats sent to me by neo-Nazis, and it kind of turned me off.
What was the most off-putting part about receiving death threats? Was it the spelling or was it the actual death threat?
Oh, the spelling.
Okay.
Yeah. These
what is the main grammatical error on the average death threat sent to an anarchist?
Misspelling of the word Trump.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you screw that up?
I saw a lot of people spell it Trump.
Okay. Okay, that's it? That's weird.
Yeah,
That's an odd
really,
one.
Really weird.
Did you think this was going to happen? Because in the article from last year in the Washington Post, when you guys were planning Disrupt, it was about Hillary. You thought Hillary was going to win.
When we originally started, it was in June of 2016, and we assumed, like everyone else did, that Hillary was going to win.
Now that this is our current reality, 26 months later... Are you surprised that you didn't see this happening, or are you still like, "Wow, I can't believe that happened"?
No, I'm more surprised at myself for not seeing it happen.
Yeah.
I think I underestimated the depths to which people really hated Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, me too. Your parents are in Berlin.
Yeah.
Did you live overseas?
No, I grew up local in D.C.
Then why are your parents in Berlin?
Because they are retired, and my father's Austrian, my mother's German, and they like Berlin a lot.
Have you visited?
Yes.
Have you considered moving to Berlin?
Yeah.
Why are you here? Because all I've heard is great things about Berlin. I'm not trying to make you leave either. I'm just
because I have a really big social base in DC.
Okay.
And I can live here very, very cheaply.
Is it fair to say that anarchy is good for building social networks?
Yeah, absolutely. Non-hierarchical organizing lends itself to stronger personal relationships.
Do I want to know how you pay your bills, or is that just like boring and depressing?
You don't want to know.
Okay, fair enough. How is your dating life?
Healthy.
I don't need names here or anything like that, but it seems like if you're an anarchist, you're probably comfortable talking to members of any sex and pretty open about your wants and your needs.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yep.
Do you think that is the thing that makes a lot of people scared of anarchists?
What? That we're...
Not honestly. Free love. It's kind of like hippie free love, but not hippie. You know what I mean? It's like the idea of a sense of ownership of self, and you're just like, I want to do this thing with consent, and here we go. You know what I mean? It's more open with your sexuality than most any other social group. That could be off-putting for some.
Of the three Tinder dates I've been on, I definitely went on two awkward Tinder dates where they seemed obsessed with the fact that I'm both an anarchist and queer.
Really? Yeah. Why were they obsessed with that? Because is it in your Twitter your Tinder bio?
Yeah, it's in my Tinder bio. One of them was a lawyer, and the other one was a lobbyist, it turned out.
Did you not look into this before you did the thing?
No, I just met them on Twitter, and one of them offered...
Tinder?
Tinder.
Okay, the dating one.
And one of them offered to buy me lunch, and they insisted on going to Busboys and fucking Poets, which the place sucks, and it's a terrible place to take a date.
For the listener at home, our producer Jack is laughing. Jack, why did you laugh at the idea of Busboys and Poets?
Because he's right.
But also because it's a stereotype that the anarchist would love Busboys and Poets. For the listener at home, Busboys and Poets is a DC institution because it exists. And for a very, very, very long time, it was one of the only places that was run by a person of color in Washington, D.C. that had things like open mics and poetry slams. That is no longer the case in modern D.C., but it is still a thing. And you'll hear a lot of people that have just come here for college saying how great it is. Is that fair, Jack?
Yes.
How many people on the shows that you have here on Full Service Radio love Busboys and Poets?
Zero that I can count.
Bullshit, they're all lying to you. Like, but how many times have you been to Busboys and Poets and had a great time?
Zero.
Okay. That being said, I don't hate Busboys and Poets.
I hate that place.
I don't hate Busboys and Poets. What's your most hated place in Washington, D.C.?
The White House.
Oh, you're boring. Jack.
But I have a good...
No, you've already said your bullshit answer. That wasn't funny. Jack, what's yours?
With no disrespect to the owner-operators, the theme bars that pop up.
Oh, yeah, interesting.
Yeah, the Game of Thrones bars. Yeah, that's the worst bar I've ever been to in my life.
Stop. You both knew exactly what you were getting into when you got in that line. Why did you go? Why are you drinking ice on the air? We went over this. I don't care how much of an anarchist you are. Certain sounds are bad. Chewing gum, sucking on ice, those are two of them. The reason why I like the pop-up bars is because the man that runs the biggest one, Derek Brown, he supports the D.C. Public Libraries a lot. So number one, I like him for that. Number two, his other bar, the Columbia Room, is one of the best bars in Washington, D.C. And it's actually one of the few bars that warrant the really high prices in Washington, D.C. And number three... All of the people, not all, but majority of the bartenders that work at those bars also work at other bars, and they just fucking collect money all night because all those drinks are batched. So it's the easiest gig in the world.
Yep.
Friend of the show, person on this network, Allison Lane, worked at multiple pop-up bars. That's where you make that money. That's how you not have to worry about rent every month.
Yeah, but I make a terrible bartender.
You would be in a... Okay, I think you're lying.
No, I'm too ED for it, so I'm really good at the personal interaction part. But I'm really bad at the making drinks properly and giving them to the right person on time part, which is the essential part of being a bartender.
No, it's not. You're wrong. You're describing a specific type of bartender and a specific type of bar. The majority of bars are not fancy drink bars. The majority of bars are shot in a beer bars. You would be amazing at the Raven. You would be amazing at Sun Cinema, a place that's 90% of their stuff is a shot in a beer. You just open the can, you have conversation. You would make so much money. You are a charming individual. You'd probably give away way too many drinks because of your anarchist beliefs, so they would keep coming back and they would love you. You'd be perfect for bartending. Did you ever do it?
I tried once and I was awful at it.
Where? Which bar?
Or was it like a wedding or something?
It was at Echo Stage. See, Echo Stage is the worst for you. It's just loud music with the exact opposite of personal interaction.
Yeah.
If it's a situation like you and I are in right now, you can keep me entertained for hours. you would be an amazing bartender at Sun Cinema. Have you gone to Sun Cinema?
Yes, I go there all the time.
I think that is like the perfect bar for you. Because you would essentially have your own little like stage, which is the bar, and then get paid. Now this has become a weird job encouragement speech, and I apologize for that. Do you think anything in the world can happen for you to change your anarchist belief system?
No, I think it's pretty locked in.
When you started this, you didn't start this in 2000, but when you saw the Seattle protests in 2000, did you like the band Rage Against the Machine?
Yeah, cursorily.
Okay, cool. Do you still like the band Rage Against the Machine?
Yeah, cursorily.
Ugh, you're disappointing me the more we talk. How many idols have you once had that you now dismiss?
A lot over the years.
Give me a recent example, please, if you have one.
I can't think because I stopped really putting people on pedestals.
That's like, probably for the best.
20s.
You said, "Oh, that's been a long time. Good for you." What do you remember? Any of the specific reasons of like I can't like blank anymore?
I can't remember the name of it, but it was various people who were accused of sexual assault.
Okay, that's a good one. Jack, you got any people on that list?
Yeah, most recently, I've talked to you about this, Maynard, because I grew up loving Tool, and then you see these accusations, and it's like, fuck.
Here's my biggest problem with Tool, the band, not Maynard, the sexual assault dude.
Wait, what happened with Maynard?
There we go.
Yeah, I mean, you know, their accusations.
No, he doesn't know. Point. He doesn't know at all because we've discussed this on the show before. It's never been written about in a major
apparently,
music magazine.
Apparently, he, for many years, would give special backstage passes to young women and then sort of like. It wasn't quite a rape allegation, but it was icky. You should look it up and read it.
Oh, that's disappointing. It is, I like Tool growing up.
Yeah, exactly.
Here's my problem. If you hate LA so much, stop singing about it and just move. All their songs are about how they want L.A. to drown.
That's one song. Come on.
That's their biggest song. You should move. Also, who do they like, that comic? Not Lenny Bruce.
Bill Hicks.
Wow, what a genius. What a genius. What a brave man to say those things. Oh, such bravery. Why are you in Washington, D.C.?
I originally, after college, was planning on moving to San Francisco, but I got arrested at Virginia Tech for smashing windows after a Take Back the Night march was shut down by the school for announcing the name of a faculty member who raped a student the night before the march.
Wait. Are you sure you want to say this on air? Because, like, I don't want to get you in trouble again.
Yeah, I mean, I already did jail time for it.
Let's go.
I was arrested in 2002.
Okay.
For participating in an action which a bunch of us went out at night and trashed the campus and wrote anti-rape slogans. And Virginia Tech, being Virginia Tech, sent the school's SWAT team into my house. They killed our cat. By kicking it to death, and then arrested me 2 days later, and I was snitched out by my comrades who did the action with me and blamed as the ringleader, which I wasn't, and I did 2 months in jail for it. And I moved to D.C. because I had a 5-year probation order and couldn't leave the area.
And D.C. counts as the area.
Yeah, D.C. counts as the area.
Wow. The professor that was accused of sexual assault, did anything happen to him?
No. I think he still teaches there.
Yeah. Moral of the story?
Smash more, get caught less.
I don't think that's the moral of the story, but that's one interpretation. And a very sad one at that. Very sad. Yeah. Very sad. Very depressing stuff here on BYT Radio. How was that? How were those 2 months?
Oh, man, jail sucks. So it was a county facility in Christiansburg, Virginia.
Okay.
And I was held in the receiving block, which was where they bring in new people and house them for like 2 days.
Uh-huh.
And so it was always overfilled. It was a cell block meant for 20 men, and they had 42 in there at any given time. So a lot of people were sleeping on the floor. There were cockroaches.
You were like 21, 22 at the time?
23. My bunkmate was this poor 18-year-old kid who was doing 6 months for Grand Theft Auto because he saw his stepfather beating his mother, and his response was to steal his stepfather's car and take it on a joyride. and his stepfather pressed charges against him for stealing the car, and he ended up doing 6 months in on a felony charge in this jail, and he was a chronic crying and masturbator. And I had to listen to him every night, 2 a.m, jerking off and crying above me. And I couldn't say anything because he was huge and beat me up otherwise.
Moral of the story?
There is no moral. Don't go to jail.
Wow. Have you been? You've been to jail since, but not for 2 months.
Yeah,
you've been arrested.
I've been held for like a day.
How many times have you been arrested?
Let me think. 1, 2, 3. Four times.
Do you think your race has prevented you from getting arrested more?
My what?
Your race. You're white.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. The fact that I'm white has definitely allowed me to get away with a lot of stuff.
Okay. Do you think your arrest record and your outspokenness and your anarchist tag is a detriment to the Black Lives Matter movement?
No. Okay. No. I think we work in sort of in Congress, mm-hmm. in D.C. here a lot. Like a lot of my organizing friends are in Black Lives Matter.
Okay. What do you want to happen now? Right now? What are you going to be doing in the next month that will you think make the world a better place?
So in the next month, we're planning on having a large debrief that's going to be sort of organized publicly and citywide to talk mm-hmm. about next steps for planning a broad-based coalition, mass mobilization organizing in D.C., because it seems like that kind of thing is happening in D.C. more and more.
Okay.
And then sort of gearing up for whatever comes next.
Okay. On a scale of 1 to 10, how happy are you?
7?
When was the last time you were at a 10?
The last time I did Molly.
Okay, Molly. Why yeah. Molly?
Because it makes you happy.
Okay, that's a good answer. When was the last time you were on Molly?
2 weeks ago.
By the way, this is our second straight show where we're talking directly about when is the last time yeah. you did illegal substances. It's pretty great. Last week was all about the death of a loved one well before her prime. This week is all about spending 2 months in jail with an 18-year-old chronic masturbator that also was crying at the same time in Virginia. We're breaking boundaries here on BYT Radio. What is the most common misperception about you, Legba?
That I'm a woman.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I get a lot of people who Why? Just see my name and assume it's a female name.
Do you want to explain the origin of your name? Because you're the first Legba I know.
So I legally changed my name when I was 17. It was kind of my coming out ritual.
Okay.
When I ran away from home, because I kind of came out as being queer, and moved to New York for about 9 months.
Okay.
And legally changed my name to that of a voodoo god because I was a 17-year-old goth kid.
I thought you were a big Godsmack fan. The band Godsmack. You know them?
I know of them.
They have a song called Voodoo. It's real bad.
Oh, no. I haven't heard it.
God, you don't even know your name origin. It's Voodoo by the band Godsmack. So what was your legal name before that? Or do you not want to reveal that?
No, it's part of my... So I actually just added to my name.
Okay.
So my full legal name is Legba Alexander Christopher Meyer Jr. III.
What?
Christopher Meyer Carrefour Jr. III. I'm sorry. I legally added on Jr. III just to be annoying.
Yeah, that's annoying. You're the second longest name of anyone I know.
Who's the longest?
D. Ahmed, who's his father's from Africa, his mom's from Africa, and he's got, I think, 14 words in his name total.
Wow.
That's why he goes by D. Ahmed now, because it's a lot shorter.
Yeah.
Do you feel like things were a little bit more difficult for you simply due to the time? Because now if you came out as queer, I don't think it'd be as big of a deal as it was when you were 17.
Yeah, no, it was, I mean, so I didn't even know the word queer
yeah.
back then.
How did you identify then? Big Godsmack fan.
I didn't okay. Really have a identifier of the sexual orientation back then. I just knew that I wasn't straight.
When was the last time you even thought about that stuff?
About coming out?
Not about coming out, but more about like, how you identify?
I think about it on a pretty regular
really?
Basis. Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, I feel like sort of, so for most of my life, my gender was kind of in flux.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really identify with maleness.
Mm-hmm.
I have increasingly as I turned 30.
You've identified more as a male.
Yeah, largely because it makes my life easier.
Sure.
Not because I necessarily want to.
Let's say that this is the dumbest comparison or hypothetical because we both know the realities. But let's say it didn't actually matter. Let's say that everything's equal. What would you identify as more?
I'd probably go by the pronoun they.
Okay. But you don't do that now.
No, I don't do it now just because it's easier.
But why not just do it? You know what I mean? What a
weird
question.
I've been going by he for so long and I just kind of stuck.
But does it offend you?
No.
Okay. If it offended you, would you maybe change it?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
I grew into it.
Yeah. Does it still matter, though? That's a genuine question. Do you want to have a child?
No, I am anti-breeding.
You're anti-breeding. So if you don't want to have a child, and you're the last of your whatever, the last of your whatever, why not just go by they now? Because who gives a shit? You know what I mean? The only thing I would make it... I guess what I'm trying to say is if you have a child or something, it might be difficult for a young person to understand the complexities of this. But if you're not going to make the adults, like, it's up to the adults to understand.
It's actually pretty easy to explain to children the whole thing.
Like, it's a little bit more difficult because
So, like if you look at studies, so, like,
yeah.
Young people under the age of 20 and in their teenage years tend to accept transgender identity with greater ease than adults do.
Sure.
And I definitely don't identify as transgender at all. I just don't identify as specifically male. Because I feel like I don't fit within a lot of the prerequisites for being a
well. Here's really all I need to know. Do you like the band Pearl Jam?
No.
See, there you go. You're not a real man. You're not a real American man. For the listener at home, Leg Bespell, he understood that was a joke that didn't necessarily land. Pearl Jam's in hot water this week. Did you hear about that?
No, it happened in Pearl Jam.
Did you hear about this, Jack?
No, tell me.
Do Pearl Jam, Washington Post. I don't want to get the state wrong, but there was a poster, I want to say North Dakota, that they were playing
Montana?
Montana, there we go. They were playing a benefit for somebody in Montana, and the poster for the show featured a negative depiction of Trump, possibly beheaded, something to that effect. And now Pearl Jam's in trouble again. Remember in 2004 when they went on their anti-Bush tour, and then there was they had a plastic mask of Bush on stage in like Colorado or something, and then they tore it apart and everyone got mad, like all of their songs ever weren't clearly on the left. Remember that, because you're a big Pearl Jam fan, Lugba?
I don't remember that, but that's amazing.
Yeah, I'm a legit Pearl Jam
fan. I'm actually
fan.
Shocked they got into trouble over that. I mean, at the permitted peaceful rally that happened on Sunday, when one of the speakers was talking about nonviolence, there was someone standing behind her with a giant sign that had a drawing of a guillotine mm-hmm. with Trump's head falling out of it.
Yeah, that's more graphic, but that's not Pearl Jam. If Eddie Vedder was there, I'm sure they would have gotten in trouble. Yeah. What are your thoughts on Eddie Vedder, the human being?
Well, we used to have lunch on a regular basis, and he has a habit of eating off my plate, which is kind of annoying.
You always think you're funny, but you're never really funny. I don't know why I let you be funny. Because I control the show. I'm being a dick to you right now, and I'd apologize, and I want to thank you for coming on the show. We're going to close with Best Week in Best. We're going to take a little break. But before we do that, Legba, I want to make it clear from the start to the end. Are we still good?
Yeah,
okay.
Totally.
We're
I love
still
you,
good.
Man.
I want good things to happen for you. I tried to make no jokes because we're not. This is not an episode of You, Me, Them, Everybody, my show. This is a show, BYT Radio, on a radio station. I don't want to get anyone in trouble, so I'm trying to just ask questions that I'm fascinated in, and I'm really glad that you're not arrested, and I'm really glad last Sunday was incredibly boring.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, we're coming
too.
Right back with Best Weekend Bets. That's some good Godsmack. Is it Sully? Is his name Sully?
I forget.
I think it's Sully. It's something really close to the pilot.
It's Sully. Sully Erna.
Yeah, Sully. Give me that voodoo. Burn.
He competed in the World Series of Poker?
Oh, hell yeah.
Wow, look at that.
You know how he did well? Voodoo.
Hey.
Thank you. every Thursday on British Junk Things, we publish our best weekend bets. We also have a gay edition. We also have a New York edition. We have a Chicago edition. This weekend's theme is Celine Dion, because we were throwing a 90s/Titanic party at National Geographic. I'm sure all the other anarchists will be there, like, but you should join too. Thanks for laughing at me in my face. The reason why I like this one on BritishJunkThings.com this week is because the main image I chose for this is Celine Dion performing from Cats. So it's a very fun image of
Celine Dion was in Cats?
I think she did one performance, like, on television for an award show.
Wow, she was in the worst Andrew Lloyd Webber production.
What's
ever
the best Andrew Lloyd Webber production? Is it Les Mis? Is that Andrew Lloyd Webber?
I don't know, but I don't think there is a good Andrew Lloyd Webber production.
All right, I just plugged our event on September 21st at the National Geographic Museum. So buy the ticket to that, because our Renwick exhibit, our Renwick closing night exhibit for the Burning Man thing, that's already sold out. Have you been to Burning Man?
No, I have not.
What are your thoughts on Burning Man? I'm legitimately interested in
mixed
this.
Feelings about it. I like the idea of autonomously setting up a giant party in the desert for a week.
But it's not really autonomously setting up a giant
party. It's not autonomously setting up in the desert. Yeah, as I got older and I learned more, they're weirdly libertarian, and there's like...
I like how you, the anarchists, are like, fuck, weirdo libertarians here. By the way, so I'm married... because I'm a classic heterosexual Pearl Jam fan. And in my wedding party, I have a Democrat that maxed out his donations to the left. I have two Republicans, one of which is a lawyer. And I have one libertarian who is like pro-gun. So I want to point out that I am the most well-rounded individual in the world. I love all of them dearly. This is not a joke whatsoever. I'm friends with an anarchist who is sitting across from me. On my other talk show, You, Me, Them, Everybody, on the same episode, I have a current paid Fox News contributor on stage at the exact same time as a former D News star, Discovery News, like millions of hits for science nerds. And then also on that same show, a paid MSNBC contributor. Therefore... me, Brandon Weatherby, the most well-rounded individual in Washington, D.C., the biggest Pearl Jam fan in the world, not a fan of Godsmack. Have I established who I am as a human being? Fantastic. This Thursday in Washington, D.C., there's actually a decent amount of things to do. Like, but wouldn't you say?
I would agree with you.
Clearly, we're both going to be going right now. We're going to leave the studio at the Line Hotel and head right over to the Rick and Morty pop-up, which opens tonight down the street in Adam... No, sorry, in Shaw. In Shaw, in the neighborhood of Shaw. What do you think of Shaw?
I think Shaw used to be cool in the 90s, and now it's just a bedroom community.
Speaking of not Shaw, we're going to recommend Batfangs at Rock and Roll Hotel. Batfangs has my current favorite rock and roll t-shirt of the year. Go to Batfangs' Facebook page to find that out. Do you know who Batfangs is?
I don't.
I think it's you might like
name.
Batfangs. This is news, actually, in the last hour. Alan Jackson had to cancel his show at Wolf Trap, and that was going to be my pick because I think Alan Jackson has some sweet hats. Do you like cowboy hats, Legba?
I love cowboy hats.
Do you own any?
I do. I own two.
Do you? How often do you wear them?
Really rarely. They're more costume pieces than anything else.
Are they cowboy, or are they like Bret Michaels cowboy?
Like Bret Michaels cowboy.
I want to see a classic cowboy hat on you.
I think my head's too small.
They're different sizes of hats.
Yeah, but you have to. I feel like you have to have like a big Marlboro Man head to wear a cowboy hat.
No, I disagree completely. And also, the Marlboro Man's head did not seem big to me. It seemed lean. Seem lean and long. That's your head.
He had a big head.
Nah, he had a normal size head. And then Crazy Rich Asians. That's a difficult word, difficult name to say out loud. That's in theaters now. So go see that. Read our review on brightestyoungthings.com. Moving on to Friday. It's a very good night.
Wait, can I plug something for you?
Absolutely, for Thursday.
So
what is your plug?
For Thursday, the nightclub Flash, there is a drum and bass party thrown by a crew called Cadence that has A-Sides and Doc Scott. Which should be really, really good, and the best thing to go to if you're into club music.
I love that right before we did this segment, Legba goes, I got nothing. I asked Legba, do you have anything to recommend in these 4 days? He goes, nope. And you recommend one of the best things you could recommend.
Yeah.
Good Sorry. Job. No, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Friday night, really good night for music in a two-block radius. We recommend Muramasa at 9:30 Club, and we also recommend Taco Cat at DC9. Last Sunday at DC9, we had our Goth Jimmy Buffett party, Goths in Paradise. You can view those pictures online at brightestyoungthings.com. Also on Friday, we're going to recommend free meatballs at the Watergate Hotel. You like meatballs, right, Legba?
Yeah, I love meat.
Are you really? Serious?
Yeah, I used to be vegan, but I quit.
When did you quit?
I quit during Occupy, actually.
Wow, so you haven't been vegan in a long time.
Yeah.
Do you miss it at all?
No, because my dining out options are a lot broader. I still cook vegan, mm-hmm. but that's because it's easier and
sure.
what I'm used to.
Sure. Where's your favorite place to eat?
Oh, man. I would say Tony's in Upper Petworth, which is the last Greasy Spoon diner in the city. And it's super tiny and very, very, very cheap.
There you go. Speaking of not very cheap, it's all-you-can-eat crabs at the Chesapeake Crab and Wine and Beer Festival at National Harbor on Saturday. Legba, when's the last time you were at National Harbor?
When I got banned from the, what's that hotel, that giant hotel?
The MGM?
The one next to it.
The Gaylord?
The Gaylord, yeah. I got banned from the Gaylord for doing a flyer dump.
Oh, okay. What were you dumping flyers for?
It was back when the TPP was the Trans-Pacific Partnership trade pact was being negotiated. And
so you must be very happy that President Trump denied that movement, any forward movement.
Yeah, but he's, I mean, whatever.
You suck, Legba. Okay, moving on. I say that with love. You just got banned for no reason. It's a waste of everyone's time. Go volunteer. Moving on. That's mean. That's a mean thing to do. When's the last time you volunteered? You might be volunteering yesterday or today or tomorrow.
I mean, I volunteer my time all the time. Oh. Organize stuff.
No, not organization, but like, when's the last time you volunteered to like feed the homeless or anything like that?
Never.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Come on, dude.
I don't really volunteer.
Volunteer instead. Do that for 1 week. Do that. Give me that option for 1 week.
All right. You find me somewhere to volunteer at.
DC Central Kitchen has a thing every Saturday morning. And then around the corner at the church, which is not really a church, you know.
You have to do it with me, though.
I'll do it with you.
Okay, fine.
Let's do a weekend where you would have been protesting. We volunteer instead.
All right, that's
and
fine.
And we'll see if that makes your life any better or any worse, or if it makes you... yeah, that's it. I think we'll do that, and it'll be fun.
All right.
Why are you like I didn't try to just make you take a shot
I'm on to it.
All right. Go to Little Havana. And drink a pina colada. It's a new place. Not that far from where you live, actually.
Nope. It's about 3 blocks from where I live.
There you go. And then what else is on Saturday that I like? Unlimited pizza and unlimited beer at the Pizza Paradiso Summer Fest. So lots of all-you-can-eat options, which when I look at you, but that's all I think of. As much beer and food I could shove into my body. You thin, thin man. Moving on to Sunday. You got any picks for Sunday?
I do not.
That's okay, because DC Beer Week kicks off. We have a giant feature right now on British Link Things about everything you need to do over the next week for DC Beer Festival. It's also the last night of DC Restaurant Week. We also have our Restaurant Week picks all on brightestyoungthings.com. And the last thing we're going to do is recommend... actually, we're going to recommend a show on Autobar that you actually might know about and be into. It's Throat, Han, Birth Defects, and Gloop at Autobar. Do you know them?
No, I don't.
You might like Birth Defects. Do you remember Sean Gray?
Yeah.
His band.
Oh, okay, cool.
So that's an auto bar in Baltimore. We will not be here live next week because Jack will be in beautiful Los Angeles. Is that correct, Jack?
That's correct.
What will you be doing in Los Angeles?
Next week I will be, well, actually starting today, I will be at the Line LA doing interviews with locals.
Anybody lined up that you're excited to chat with?
Peanut Butter Wolf.
Oh, that's nice.
Really excited about that, actually. that's who I'm excited about.
I don't want to throw anybody under the bus.
I don't know many of the other subjects. There's some local restaurant owners and fashion designers and stuff. The hotel kind of collaborates with me in terms of sourcing.
That's awesome, and I don't want to throw anybody under the bus here, but have you had an interaction with any fashion designer that was actually good audio?
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm glad.
Yes. Yes.
I am very
in Austin,
glad.
Yes.
In Austin. Mm-hmm. Here's a question I've wanted to ask you for a long time. What is the worst thing a guest could do when you're trying to get anything out of them? What's the most stereotypical average thing that you're just like, stop doing that, that makes it difficult for a conversation to move forward? And I'm not asking because Leg was on the show. I've just had this idea, and I know that you're leaving to go interview a bunch of people.
It's a good question.
You were good today, Legba.
It's a good question. You were a really good guest. Ooh. Because I mean, like short, curt answers, obviously.
I'd have to disagree because sometimes there's that like playfulness of like the short quips that I am okay with. But
I'm interviewing to edit later.
Okay, so
I like stories. I'd rather get more than less because I can always take stuff out later.
Okay.
I'm editing these particular interviews, so it's a different process maybe than like a conversational
maybe.
Interview.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
So just shortness. You don't like shortness. You want something to work with.
Or when people, when I tell them we're going to edit this, it's going to live on the TV, it's going to play in the hotel rooms, and then they start talking about their event tonight, and it's like, dude, how does that make any sense?
That's fair. I don't like when people are giving me very vague answers, like they don't want to offend anybody, not realizing the likelihood of them offending somebody is minuscule to none, and the only way they will offend them is if they tell them, hey, I talk shit about you on this thing at this moment.
Yeah, that's true.
Most people don't care. Just say whatever you want at all the times.
Yeah.
That's why I always am open about my love of Pearl Jam and my hatred of the band Godsmack. No, that's a lie. I do legitimately like Pearl Jam.
And Godsmack.
No, I don't like Godsmack. I don't think they're bad people. Period. And I don't think that people like that like Godsmack are bad people. I don't think that. I think they haven't heard the right Pearl Jam song. That's how I look at it. Is that bigoted? Is that
maybe?
Is that like she just hasn't read the right man yet? You know what I mean? But about Pearl Jam and Godsmack.
Yeah, I was goth and Pearl Jam was big in the 90s. So
what's your favorite goth artist?
I mean, Trent Reznor. It's kind of
generic. It's not generic. Are you going to go to the shows at the Anthem?
No, because I hate the Anthem.
Oh, why do you hate the Anthem?
I saw LCD Sound System there when the place first opened, and it was a total shit show.
Night one or night two?
Night one.
See, I heard night one was real bad, and I went to night two, and it was a really great time. And earlier that year, I saw LCD Sound System. Horrible. So LCD Sound System has the ability to have a great show and a horrible show night to night. I think you just saw a bad show.
Oh.
Because you're not the only one that complained about that specific show.
Yeah, but the place is just too big. I don't like really large venues. It's why I don't go to festivals.
Yeah, but you want to see Nine Inch Nails, right? Like, it's not like they're going to be playing DC9.
Oh, yeah.
You don't have a say in that. And, like, would you rather see them at Capital One Arena or Anthem? Because I went to that last show and it was Verizon Center. Loved it.
I did love that show at Verizon Center. That was great.
And I like seeing them in a huge cavernous space. That makes me think I'll like seeing them at the Anthem. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean the problem was I was in the riser booths
for
on the
LCD.
That rung the side. Mm-hmm. There's like no sound up there, so you can't hear anything. And there's like a million mile wait for the bar.
That's a band to band issue. It depends on the mix. Yeah. So I think you would actually like Nine Inch Nails at the Anthem. We'll find out. And after we go volunteer at DC Central Kitchen. I can't think of it. Was it Positive Force? Whatever. Thanks for listening, everybody. We might be back next week, but we would definitely not be live. Thanks for listening, everybody, and have a wonderful night.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook @FullServiceRadio. Thanks for listening.